Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
Honestly, guys will be grabbing all over Elias Williams because he's so dang big. I don't think that's crazy to say. And yes, I did want that on his face. Making Oscar Delp jump for that football is just unrealistic. And he does throw a firm one. Throws the firmest of firm ones.
Yeah, nothing you said in the video was untrue. Just the context of what you were saying. Questionable.
Context always matters.
That's right.
Let's just hope he doesn't find the most recent couple of films. That some of those things have been. John or Christian, it's gotten so bad, I literally stop myself midstream and look at Jonathan and go, he's going to get me, isn't he? He's going to get me, isn't he? Welcome to the Local Hour. It is our loaded Local Hour. Last hour, best hour of the week right here. Got good news on the Jaden Wade front from the homie Steve Whitflong and On Three today. We'll be talking about that. Off-season in review coming up on tonight's show. And it is the final Thursday before week one. It is time to get our dog's fantasy draft going on. What you looking up at over there?
I just felt a water drop land on me.
Dude, something's going on over there. There was a wet spot over there, like by your...
Oh, I spilled my water the other day.
Oh, you spilled your water?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was freaking me out this morning. I was like, is something leaking?
But I genuinely felt water. Whatever. My bad.
It's like the Allstate commercial, like, that's a drop. And then the ceiling caves in, like, that's a leak.
I don't know what's going on over there. But yeah, make sure you like it. Make sure you subscribe and make sure you are telling a friend about this place right here. Boys, y'all want to talk Jaden Wade?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk Jaden Wade. They had a report today from our friends and colleagues and partners over there at On Three from the homie Steve, and dropped the bomb today. You should go read it. You should be a subscriber over there. They give tremendous intel. There's no doubt about that. Head over to On Three and Rivals for the full story. But I will say this. It seems like Jaden Wade is very, very close to shutting things down, not listening to any other offers.
Boy, that'd be the best news ever for Georgia fans.
Yes, it would be. It would be tremendous news. I think it would create a lot of, wait a minute, Mike Bobo can recruit. I think it would create a lot of that. I think it'll also just create a lot of sanity from Georgia fans in general about this one, because they could have sworn for months now that there's no way that this dude's ended up at Georgia.
It will also create a lot of fans going, I'll believe it when he signs. I don't care if he shuts it down. I don't care if yada, yada, yada.
They still say that same stuff about Keymon Spell, despite the fact that he said it over and over and over again.
Yeah, so I mean, it's all positive news. It's nothing to complain about. If you want to be, you know, very reserved and very non-trusting, I understand it. There's been enough reasons to be, but this is fantastic news if you're a Georgia fan, because the entire worry all this time was like, man, you're going to have to fend off a lot of the horses. And guess what? That probably hasn't really started up yet. We're not even into the next year of this cycle. Like, 2028 is still on the back burner for a lot of coaches and staff. So the fact that he might be shutting it down before we even get to that is fantastic.
Do you think, though, even if he does shut down his recruitment, there's still going to be Georgia fans that are like, still not over. Still got to hold on.
It's happening right now. I'll believe it when he signs.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean,
which I get it. I mean, Georgia fans have been burned multiple times when it comes to five-star quarterbacks and recruiting classes and getting burned very late in the process. So I understand why you still would want to hold your breath, but none of them have ever actually came out and said, my recruitment is shut down.
Now, there is no 100% guarantee that every five-star is going to be great, but this kid feels like a bona fide.
Mm-hmm.
This kid feels like a bona fide dude. 6'4", 210 pounds. This summer ran a legitimate lasered 4.49 in the 40. He's got tremendous pedigree, plays at IMG Academy. Been a known dude since he was about 13 years old that this was going to be the next one in his class in particular. Doesn't sound like he's going to reclass either. Obviously, that would have been made known by now if he were going to get into the 27 class. I guess we could do that in February, but it sounds like he's going to stay in the 28 class. And he already spends all of his summers with Jordan Palmer, the best quarterback trainer in the world for my money. This guy works hard. Jordan talks about him like he is one of the best that he might ever train. So if Jordan Palmer says that, I believe it. And you know, I know, you know me, I trust my own opinions a lot, but I really trust Jordan. So he's as close to a guarantee as they can come. Y'all want to watch some tape?
Let's hear it.
Let's watch some tape. People saying we got a new Jaden Daniels. This kid's already bigger than Jaden Daniels from a weight standpoint. If you told me today that Jaden Daniels weighs 200 pounds, I wouldn't doubt it. Right? Like Jaden Daniels doesn't weigh 220 pounds. This kid's going to project to be 225, 230 by the time he leaves college. He is a big man already. This is him against Central. We were at this game. Boy, you guys weren't with me.
No, I was at this game.
All right, so let's take a look at this tape. You can see really big already. And he makes the football look like it's a baseball. His hands are so big. Throws a great touch on that first one. You're going to see a couple beams in this sucker too. There's one right there. Couldn't even see that ball.
Yeah, wow.
And there's no wasted movement in the throwing mechanics either. There's no dip in this at all. Got some touch to a halfback screen right there. Now, there is questions about like, hey, look what you have in front of you versus what everybody else has in front of them, because that's a five-star that went to LSU. Brett Colajay's on this offensive – or USC. Brett Colajay's on this offensive line. He went to USC. All five go to Power Four schools. That's the wide receiver that committed to A&M, the twitched up –
Eric McFarland.
That's him right there. They got dudes all over the field. There's no doubt about that. But they play big-time high school football too. That ball's ripped. That's the McFarland kid scoring right there, I think. Like, this is them against Venice out there in California. He stopped that guy on purpose, put it on his back shoulder.
There's no choppiness in his feet at all in the pocket.
He's so calm, dude.
Yeah.
This will be the, if and when he signs at Georgia, this will be the highest rated quarterback since Fields.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a bomb right
Good
there.
Good Lord.
I think that wide receiver right there ended up going to Colorado. He was the one that transferred out of Carrollton. That ball's ripped.
He's also got a really good pocket presence and confidence in there. Not a lot of spinning out, not a lot of abandoning it.
Nope. Good movement like, right ooh, there. Just bumped a little left.
That was beautiful.
Then came back to the backside dig. Reading coverage there, pre-snap, getting it out now. Coming back to a screen. That's the McFarland kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kid's nuts. Now we get to see him take off a little bit.
Yeah, here we go. This is what I'm interested in.
Protect yourself. He has a big rushing touchdown in this game, too, I remember from being there.
Is it this one?
No, he's going to rip a bomb right here.
Damn.
Oh, I see my fat ass. Here. That's me right there over there on the sideline. Sorry, I'm always looking for myself. You know how I love me some meat. Yeah, that kid ended up going to Colorado right there. Central was a good football team last year, too, and they absolutely obliterated them.
Ooh. Man.
Yeah, that's ball in the right hash, throwing a fox to the far side sideline. It looked like it was put on a line. Good Lord, the kid can spin it. By the way, this is sophomore tape that we're watching right here. So still going to grow tremendously over the next 2 years of high school football, both physically and as a player. That's them against Hoover. See what I mean? Like he's got a lot of dudes around him, but they're playing great high school football teams all across the country.
I also appreciate he knows when to give it horsepower and when to touch it.
Mm-hmm. Sure you can find the homie Jeff Centel on that sideline somewhere too. A lot of this is easy work, but it's all good. You can still see all the traits. He whips that thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
back went the wrong way there. That's a moon ball, son. Mm-hmm. That ball's thrown 100. That ball's thrown 150 yards in the air. Watch how the trajectory on this ball leaving the screen.
Good Lord.
Where are they playing? In a parking
lot? They got condos out there?
Yeah, wait a minute. What is this? It's like frat row.
I'm saying. Yeah, 64, I'm going to need you to get up off that sideline and stop taking a knee a yard out from the out of bounds line, Goofy. That guy is special, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you see why Georgia fans are very excited and very anxious about losing him. Like, he fits all the boxes and checks all. And what I love about that film in particular, and we've seen it before, but it's not, I'm just the greatest athlete on the field. It's, I'm making reads, I'm making decisions, I'm making accurate throws. Now, obviously, yes, he has fantastic athletes around him. That's just what happens when you play in certain schools like that. But the fact is that he's making all the right decisions and going through the correct processes, which yeah. we've heard the word process a million times with Kirby Smart.
Well, the high school tape is very translatable to the college level. And not to demean the two athletes and Jared Curtis and Dylan Raiola, but watching that film and watching those two films, there were questions with Dylan Raiola. Like, we didn't ever see him throw, get some velocity behind the ball. It was a lot of moon balls. It was a lot of touch passes. And there were some questions, too, of like, this guy's played at four different high schools over the last 4 years. That's a little interesting. With Jared Curtis, it was level of competition just quite isn't there. There were some plays where it's, well, that's definitely not going to work at the college level. So, like, that's cool. That's great that you had a 50-yard rushing touchdown, but that's not going to play in the SEC. Jaden Wade's tape, it's, yeah, I mean, it's stuff that's like, that's going to work because he's a very clean prospect, very fundamental. Those are all things that he'll be asked to do at the college level.
Jaden Wade, a name to know, that is for damn sure. chat saying, unless he gets a shout-out from Shane Gillis on game day.
I mean, that kind of did. That is what kind of tipped the scales last year for Jared.
But no, it's not, again, you should go read the article over there from Steve and the On3 group. It's great stuff, obviously, but it there's a lot more in there that makes you feel really, really good if you are a Georgia fan listening to this today. Sounds like they are on the precipice of getting one of those. Jaden Wade has shut it down, not taking any more phone calls type of situations there. So shout out to those guys over there on three, and shout out to Mike Bobo for doing a great job recruiting. Yes. Shout out for Kirby for creating an environment where this kid wants to come play in, is what it sounds like. So that's a tremendous tape and a tremendous talent. There's no doubt about that. I'll be having multiple phone calls with Jordan Palmer over the next several years, I would imagine, about that one. All right, off season in review. How do we do this segment?
Me and Jay will kind of just went through and listed a bunch of the things that we remember most notably from this offseason, some topics that we may have forgotten about over the extensive drought that is the college football offseason. So kind of just going through, and since it's our last show before we actually start previewing a Georgia football game and discussing a game on
God
Saturday.
God bless.
Yes. Basically just saying, hey, here's everything notable that happened this offseason. We might miss a few things, but I figured, you know, just going through and discussing some of these. The first one I have of being notable, the white jerseys. Say what you want about, you know, whether or not you're for it or against it. It is a very monumental decision for Kirby Smart to kind of give the fan base an ultimatum, come out and say, I'll do this if the fans do it. And obviously the fans have delivered on that, and now you're getting something, a uniform combination that has never been worn before inside Sanford Stadium and is kind of historic. So that was the first one that...
Yeah, and kind of tying that in with one another, the introduction of Glory Glory. I feel like that was a pretty big offseason move for not just Georgia football. I mean, this is UGA athletics in general, but kind of being innovative, something that Georgia fans were kind of like, why are we not doing this? Why don't we have one of these? And then lo and behold, you have one, and it seems to be doing the job so far.
Next one I have down on this list, and this was one that for a while was a major scare for Georgia fans. There was a lot of stress around this. Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens confirming that they're staying with Georgia, confirming that they will be returning for the 2026 college football season.
While also doing the, I was never going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I mean,
that's all fugazi stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say there was probably a little bit of smoke there that had a lot of Georgia fans worried. There were a lot of people on the intel side of things that were saying, hey, you need to be very worried about this. So the fact that both of them have announced that they're coming back and, you know, expressed their love and appreciation for this university, it's a great thing.
I saw this on social media today, and someone tweeted it. I don't think it was somebody from UGASports.com that tweeted it, but it was Jim Donnan having a conversation about the offseason recruiting that Kirby Smart did to retain all the players that they did on the roster. He, in Jim Donnan's word, he said that people would have classified it as Kirby's best recruiting job ever if people had really known what went on behind the scenes of what he did to make sure that this roster remained intact for the most part. Made some big moves, and it took a lot for them to do it. And so that definitely shouldn't be overlooked. People want to look at what'd you spend in the transfer portal, how many five stars did you get in the high school rankings, all that good stuff. Georgia has, by metrics heading into the season, Georgia has the most talented roster in the country. I mean, that's not cheap in its own right to retain all those players, to make sure that you have that.
Yeah, and I think that honestly just speaks to what Kirby Smart prioritizes in his staff, retention. It's why the head coaching staff almost never changes. Like, you can go to Glenn Schumann, you can go to Todd Hartley, Mike Bobo, all these guys have been there for long periods of time, much longer than the average assistant. So
yeah, I'm sure Kirby did a great job talking to these kids. The people picking up the bill for these raises also need to be given some credit here.
Certainly.
Because that wasn't just no, hey, you need to stay at Georgia, it's the betterment for you.
Yeah, yeah.
They spend on retention. They don't just try to retain. So I just wanted to put that in there. Like, because there is a lot of narratives about how Georgia doesn't spend. No, Georgia doesn't spend all that much on crazy high school talent when they don't feel like they need to.
Correct.
They do spend on their roster. And it's because they believe in their own development. So yeah, there's a lot of money spent keeping some of these guys, especially in the running back room.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by about Kirby Smart's prioritization. Like, they spend money. We all know that. Where they spend the money is a little bit different. They're not, you know, hitting the portal and buying whatever they can or trying to get as many five stars in the door with high school recruiting. It's retention. It's trusting the guys that you have already recruited to get there, making sure they stay in the program. This one was kind of the most bizarre storyline of the offseason. It's a joke now. It's laughable. We can kind of look back on it and go, what in the world was that? But the Zachariah Branch arrest story was one of the more like, what? He got arrested for that. And I think obviously since the charges have since been dropped and it clearly didn't really affect his draft status. But one of those just, man. What in the world?
I thought the more comical thing about that entire story was people who read the police report, read the entire story of what went down that led to Zachariah Branch being arrested in the first place, and then were hopping on Twitter like, his draft stock's in the tank now. This dude's going to be a six-round pick because of this. Say goodbye to a top three-round selection, Zachariah Branch. Like, guys, he got arrested. But he wasn't beating up on anybody. He didn't flash a gun at anybody. Like, he just stood on a sidewalk a little too long.
Yeah, I think.
Didn't even stand on the sidewalk. He couldn't get back onto the sidewalk because there was too many people on the sidewalk.
Right. Yeah.
And then somebody power tripped.
Yeah. I think if you get arrested in downtown Athens after 11 p.m. and you aren't charged with public intoxication, that's kind of the indictment of, okay, this guy might not have actually been doing anything wrong. Because I don't think he was charged with public intoxication. I don't think Zachariah Branch partakes in that.
It reminds me of a story. I had a buddy, he who shall not be named, doesn't listen to the show, so it's not that big of a deal. But he got a MIP drunk in public when he was in high school up in Athens. And just, it was one of those tickets where they write you the ticket for drunk in public or MIP. They don't arrest you that night. But you have to come back for a court date. And he thought it was funny. He just balled it up and threw it in the trash. About 3 years later, he gets rear-ended in Atlanta, okay? Police officer runs his identification, and they're like, buddy, I'm sorry, but we got to haul you to Clark County right now.
From Atlanta?
You got a warrant out for your arrest.
Dude.
We got to haul you to Clark County
no.
for an MIP. He got a $75 ticket that he got when he was 19 years old.
That's brutal.
Yeah, just pay your fines, folks, you know?
That's tough. Oh, this kind of segues into the Zachariah Branch we've talked on. The draft as a whole is always entertaining, seeing which players go where, seeing them perform in the preseason. Always one of the more exciting parts of the offseason. It's kind of the midway point that you really hope can get you to the end of the road there. So the NFL draft is always an offseason topic, even though it's not necessarily unique to this offseason. There's always an NFL draft with Georgia players in it.
Yeah, if you're in downtown Athens past 11 p.m. and not intoxicated, WTF you doing there? Do a man on the street content.
That's a thing of the past.
It is. Well, I've aged out of that content, Jonathan.
Yeah, that's tough content to keep up
with. Yeah, that's a tough look, being 31, almost 32 years old, walking down the street in Athens with a camera in your hand.
There's older people than you doing it still, so.
That's a tough look.
Yeah, it is.
Tough look.
It is. Glad you had some self-awareness there.
Yeah, man, appreciate it.
But yeah, the NFL draft, I mean, it has become a like hallmark event for Georgia in the offseason over the years. And I think it's cool, too, to get to see them through training camp. Like, Dalen Everett's getting a lot of positive buzz with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're calling him one of the best picks that they've had this year. Super excited to see what he can do. Zachariah Branch with the Falcons. Like, there's so many great stories going on. Oscar Delp is having some big moments, or has had some big moments with the Saints so far. Just kind of cool to get to see those guys continue their success at the next level.
Yeah, we talked about some departures that are always
Knocking on wood.
Oh.
Knocking on wood here. The Amaris Williams injury is a big hit.
Yes.
But apart from that, you've stayed really healthy this offseason.
Yes. Let's all knock on wood. Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. And it's actually keep doing it, honestly.
It's actually funny that you mentioned that one, because the next key offseason topic I have is you know, adding players that you know are going to contribute for you this season. Khalil Barnes is going to be a starter for you. You know, you have an idea that Jamali Riddle is going to get on the field at some point. We feel like Brandon Conley's kind of secured the cornerback three position. Then obviously Isaiah Kanyon is going to be one of your most thrown to wide receivers. I mean, so just that, those consistent offseason storylines of, hey, Georgia got this guy.
I think that, and it still could end up being this because we have an entire season to play, but if Amaris Williams was healthy and Dante Dowdell would have been able to play this year, I mean, this probably goes down as the most impactful transfer class Georgia has ever had under Kirby Smart. Just in general, because it happened under, they got invented under Kirby Smart, but it was tracking really well as far as impactful players, guys that were going to be major contributors for you this year.
I mean, I thought it was really good. Sorry, I've done that multiple times tonight. I thought it was really cool to see Amaris stand on the sideline during scrimmages already. In full pads. I mean, he wasn't practicing.
Right.
But he was
out
there.
He's already putting full pads on, really.
He just wants to be a part of the team, man.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's what this guy is. He just wants to be there. He wants to support his teammates. He wants to be around it.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of Colby Young last year, where I knew that he knew that maybe a return was imminent for him. Like, it was still a possibility for him to maybe get to play for Georgia again after his foot injury last year. But for the most part, I think people kind of just assume like, he's got the NFL around the corner. There's really nothing for him to risk. He was always in a jersey. He was always on the field pregame. He always traveled with the team. I mean, he was still around the team and very joyous, might I add. It wasn't just a somber Colby Young either.
All right, this one was kind of met with mixed reviews. Some people loved it. Some people were confused by it. Some people were upset by it. Jeff Dantzler will be taking over the play-by-play calling duties for Georgia Bulldogs Radio, relieving Scott Howard, who will still be calling basketball games but will no longer be calling football games.
Can I be pro-Scott Howard without being anti-Jeff Dantzler?
Yeah,
is that allowed?
Yeah,
I love both of them.
Like,
they're both
I'm a
great
big Scott Howard guy. Big Scott Howard
they're
guy. Him and his emoji Twitter account.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Scott Howard guy.
I mean, both fantastic people. Like,
dinner's
both
cooking.
Mm-hmm. Elite. Both fantastic people, both deserving of that role. Both will do and did a great job in it. I'm going to miss Scott Howard. I'm looking forward to Jeff Dantzler. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. I love Jeff Dantzler. Like, I love nothing more in the offseason than listening to him on the radio calling baseball games, calling basketball games. I've always enjoyed him. I thought Scott Howard did a really good job with football. Appreciate both of those guys. I think Jeff Dantzler is going to do a great job calling football games like he does everything else at Georgia. I thought Scott Howard did a great job calling football games during his time.
By the way, it reminds me of a stat. Georgia fans this millennium have had more play-by-play radio announcers than head coaches. Just a stat for you.
Do you think there's a world where we have an AI that creates Larry Munson calls?
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
There's so, like,
What if it was like within 98% efficiency?
It's the soul of Larry Munson. It's knowing someone is there that loves the team that much and has that distinct of a voice. Yeah, the voice is obviously iconic. If anyone can recreate that, that's cool. But it's not the. No, I don't want it. I'm good.
I was just asking.
Thank you though. Mm-hmm. Next,
you're welcome.
Next one. This one obviously was a kind of a joking one, and we. Pretty recent news, but Progressive being the field sponsor for Georgia.
Yeah.
The ops had a pretty good laugh at that one, but at the same rate, it is still a sign that Georgia's continuing to remain consistent with NIL usage and is not shunning away or saying, no, we're not selling out our field. They are making efforts to continue to stay relevant and keep money in their accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I don't have much comment on that.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to. On the final one I have, what could be probably one of the most important acquisitions of the 2026 season, the Georgia Bulldogs hiring Larry Knight to coach linebackers for them, a pass rush specialist, someone who is, from everything I've heard, taken to this program greatly. Players love him. Coaches appreciate him. Very excited to see what Larry Knight can bring to the table in 2026. I don't know if I've missed anything. I don't know if you have anything on your list.
I was trying to think of anything that happened this offseason, but I other than things that have happened on the recruiting trail, like positives for Georgia,
Keamon
Spell, Jackson Dollar, like those two guys being in the class at this moment.
Did you see the clip of him blitzing from the safety spot the other night?
No.
Dude. He runs right through two offensive linemen. Like, he gets double teamed by two, like, 280 pounders and just, like, it's water. Just runs right.
I did not see that.
He tweets basically, like, how about a safety blitz? And then it says, Todd Harley, Kirby Smart, don't get any ideas.
I don't think they're going to be getting any ideas, buddy. I think they want you playing tight end.
I'm not saying he's Brock Bowers as a player, but he's cut from that mold.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I had people tell me that they literally basically had to drag him to Oregon to sign that Nike contract.
Huh.
Because he didn't want to do the opening. He didn't want to do the media interviews. He didn't want to do none of that nonsense. He just wants to play football basketball for his high school team. He doesn't want to be a 7-on-7 guy. He don't want to travel around the world taking all the bags from the 7-on-7 teams. He just wants to play football. And I love that about him.
Love that, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is my off-season interview, all the notable topics that have taken place throughout the desert. It's over, folks. We've made it.
G-Day was awesome.
G-Day was awesome. G-Day is always a fun one. I don't know if there were any, like, narratives to take out of G-Day, but always a good one.
One of them was Dante Daldell was going to be a dude.
Yeah.
The other one was Bryson Beaver.
Yeah.
And Jonte Gilbert and Braylon Conley had great days.
Certainly some positive takeaway. I don't know if there was
And Caden Prother had a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaden Riddell, that one looked legit at G-Day. Craig Dandridge.
Okay.
Craig Dandridge. So, yeah, my apologies. Don't even look at me.
That's
don't even
be a
say $5 anything.
Fine moving forward.
$5?
$5.
We've been able to, hold up, we've been able to tack on $5 fines for things around here.
No, I've been able to tack on $5 fines.
Okay.
It's coming right out of
All
your
right.
check.
All right.
$5 fine for not calling him Craig Dandridge.
I was about to say, I want some action on this, too.
Bet you do. All right, y'all ready to do some fantasy drafts?
Mm-hmm. Before we do that, let's give a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to our friends over at SeatGeek. SeatGeek, we love our friends over at SeatGeek. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app in the entire world. All right? There are more than 70,000 events over on SeatGeek, including concerts, festivals, sporting events, and much, much more. College football is back. It's not almost back. It is back. And the MLB playoffs are right around the corner. Plus, the NFL season is upon us, and NBA seasons aren't too far behind. Let's go take a look at our friends over at SeatGeek and see what they got going on. What game do y'all want to look at tonight?
Ooh.
We've been going through
Can
them all.
Can we go ahead and look at what the Miami-Notre Dame game looks like?
Ooh.
Just see. Like,
yeah.
Maybe like you can get some good value right now because that's probably going to rise up in value as the season progresses.
Let's see here. They got them all on here. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Cheapest ticket available right now, $640.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Not hey, bad for a game like that, though.
Also, if you're really looking to maximize the value of the Film Guide 10 promo code, why not get some bang for your buck?
That's fair.
You know what I mean? True. Ain't no point in getting $4.50 up off of it. Why not get close to $70 for a $700 ticket?
There you go.
Best deal right now, preferred seating, $3,000 in the 50-yard line right inside the bowl right there. You can see all these over on SeatGeek. Promo code FilmGuide10 gets you 10% off any tickets. Again, that's promo code FilmGuide10, 10% off. Make sure you click the link in the description of this video. Download the app and have the code automatically applied to your account so you can use it later. Thank you to our friends over at SeatGeek. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and ask, hey, what's that promo code again? FilmGuide10. Mm-hmm. FilmGuide10 is that promo code. A lot of people using it. Appreciate you guys for supporting those who support us. Now, do you want to get ready for this fantasy draft?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. I got the back of this here note sheet to write down you guys' rosters. Jonathan, you're going to be keeping scores this year?
I did it the last 2 years or 3 years. I could do it again.
We've done this 2 years?
at least.
I thought last year was our first year doing this.
No.
No, we did the first year with me and J-Law, I won. We did it last year with you and me, and I won. So I am the
I actually think that's flipped.
I'm pitting you guys against each other again. I'm a no fantasy guy moving forward.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Against my religion.
Okay. Oh. Sorry.
Boy. I have an anti-fantasy football religion.
Do you need to leave the room while we do this then?
No. I'm just the commissioner.
Okay.
Interesting.
Here's the rules. 1 point per scrimmage yard, 6 points per touchdown, 1 point per reception. Last year we had a point per rushing attempt. We have removed that. We felt like it staggered the point systems a little bit too much. 3 points for a 30-yard plus play, 1 point per tackle, 2 points per TFL, 3 points per sack, 4 points per interception. You have to draft 5 offensive players. You have to draft 5 defensive players. You are not allowed to draft a quarterback.
Nice and simple.
All right. Seems like it. Let's do it.
And I believe last year people said that we needed to do a snake draft. We did not do a snake draft last year.
So. Y'all want
to
rock, paper, scissors to see who goes one?
Sure. You.
Well, he's the two-time repeating champion, so go ahead.
I go first.
You okay with that, Curb?
Sure.
That means you get picks 2 and 3.
Are we snake drafting?
I mean, chat said we should, so we should.
Right? I mean, I thought that was the feedback we got last year when we did this draft, is that we needed to do a snake draft format.
Works for me.
Even though it's 2 people. But I'm cool with it. I'm fine with that. Well, then my first overall pick is Nate Frazier.
Very smart. I'll go ahead and take Chauncey Bowens then after that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Well, if it's snake draft, I get the next pick.
Yes,
too.
You do.
I'm going to take... Who's going to get the most touches after Nate Frazier? Give me Sakobi White-Hilton.
Oh,
interesting. Oh, you're going to receptions play there, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm going London Humphreys.
Okay.
And then on top of that, I'll just go ahead and... Okay. I do... Part of me wants to take Bo Walker here just to get the extra value out of the running back room, but I just don't know how many carries it's going to be for him because Dwight Phillips Jr. or Pina is also still very involved. I would imagine it's still going to be involved in the rushing attack. So I actually think I'm going to go Isaiah Kanyon and just double up on wide receivers here and get 2 of the more prominent targets, it seems like, from that room.
So that
leaves... I'm shocked. The name, when he comes off the board, I will let y'all know I thought he went way too low. But I'm shocked he hasn't come off the board already.
So that leaves... I have 2 offensive, I need 3 offensive players. I'm going to take Elias Williams and Craig Dandridge.
Okay. Well, then I'm taking... How many players have we drafted?
It's a $5 fine, by the way.
That's all right.
How many players have we drafted so far?
That is 7, excuse me.
So
you got 3. You got Nate London and Kanyon, Chauncey, Zakovi, Elias, and Craig Dangerous are off the board.
Okay, then I'm going to take... So I have 3 players remaining? Sorry, I'm confused right now.
I am too.
You have 6 players remaining, 1 offensive left. You have not drafted.
I only have 1 offensive player remaining.
No, you only have 4 people on your roster right now.
Yeah,
right?
But we get 5 offensive. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, you have 2 offensive players left.
Okay, 2 offensive players left.
You only have
left.
3 players on your roster so far.
Okay, then I'm just going to go ahead and take Lawson Lucky and Jaden Riddell.
And Jaden. I mean, okay. Why has this guy not come off the board yet? Go ahead.
All right. I have 1 offensive player remaining. It's got to be someone who I think is going to get a lot of touches. I'm debating between Caden Prothrow or...
I think there's 2 legitimate options here.
Yeah.
By the way, didn't running back 3 win the league last year for you?
No, running back 1 always wins the league for you.
Okay. Sorry, I'll shut up.
The year it won the league was when Trevor Achane was on the roster. Mm. That was a massive year to have the backup running back.
And that was running back 2 because the way that our league was assembled for the first 2 years was if your running back had the most carries that day, you won the game.
Yeah. And
that's why we are altering the scoring metrics
correct.
This season.
And with Trevor Achane being out for a large part of the season, I was able to win enough games. So that's why we've changed this. I'm going to go Caden Prothrow here. I think he's going to get a lot of touches out of the slot. I think he's going to be a big 50-50 guy in the red zone. I think there's a lot of opportunities for touchdowns there.
You have 1 more? Snake draft?
Yeah, I need to
Was that who you were thinking of?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's still on the board.
Okay.
He should have been like one of the first players taken because he's one of the only guys on the team that can get points in a ton of categories. But go ahead.
Defensively, tackles are worth 1 point, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Interceptions are worth 4. I'll take KJ Bolden.
See, that's goofy. Player. You have a layup of a century right now, Jonathan.
My first defensive player taken is going to be Chris Cole.
That's the guy. Chris Cole is going to be at least second on the team in tackles. He's going to be at least second on the team in TFLs. He's going to be at least second on the team in sacks. And he's going to be at least top three in interceptions.
Great.
Look, it's true. Chris Cole
is the most defense.
Most value is offensively, so it's smart to go ahead and knock those out of the way. I think last year I messed up and I took a defensive player. Okay. I think I actually took Chris Cole, and I think it kind of reared its ugly head for me.
All right, you have one more.
Remember, fantasy is against your religion, so you can't offer opinions.
You're right. That's on me.
So I took Chris Cole. Just give me Raylan. Give me the two linebackers. Rack up the tackles, baby.
I feel like I missed one of your draft picks, but whatever.
I've got two defensive right now. I've got KJ Bolden.
Oh, no, you should have an odd number because you went first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay,
correct.
So we're right. You got two picks, Kerb.
Will you read to me again the defensive stats values?
Yeah, 1 point per tackle, 2 points for TFL, 3 points for a sack, 4 points for an interception.
All right, so interceptions are most valuable if you can get those. So you need someone who's going to have chance at tackles as well as interceptions. I'm going to go Ellis Robinson with my next defensive pick.
Okay.
And then TFLs and sacks. Ooh, do I want Gabe or Quintavious?
Gabe's going to have more tackles.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to give opinions.
Leading the witness, objection.
My bad.
I'll go Gabe Harris.
All righty.
So who'd you take? You took Ellis and you took Gabe?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I got to try and get some interception value out of here. I'm not going to go the second safety spot because I think they're going to be rotating too much there. Oh, give me a guy that's going to be on the field a lot. Give me Khalil Barnes.
That's a really good pick.
I think you'll get some TFLs there. I think you can get some interceptions.
He's got some ball production too.
Yeah.
Should we add? I know this is a little late to be doing this, but should we add forced fumbles?
I feel like forced fumbles were somewhere
probably
in there.
Probably was in there, but...
Yeah, we'll definitely have to add in some scoring metrics for that.
That's
too.
Fine.
Like, forced fumbles, I mean,
all right,
I
don't let's think go,
that retroactively let's go, changes the draft.
Let's go 2 points for a fumble forced.
I mean, projecting forced fumbles on players is crazy. A lot harder to do than...
Very crazy stat.
Yeah.
But no, I'm good. Like, forcing a turnover, you should get points for that as a defensive player.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Okay,
I think you have one more selection.
Though. I do. I took Khalil Barnes...
You have two more.
No, I just took Khalil Barnes.
Okay, one, and then you have two, and then you have one.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Correct.
Snake drafts.
Well, it's also a lot more messed. Different when it's just two guys doing
snake
drafts. Yeah,
it's a little bit.
It's a little more wonky. I don't really know where to go off of here. Like, Elijah Griffin's going to be a great player, but fantasy-wise, I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of production there. But, like... Like, Zayden Walker's coming to mind. If he's going to rack up some sacks for Georgia this season, that could be a big play. But I'm going to go with Elijah Griffin because I know he's going to be on the field. I know that he is going to consistently be out there, and there's a lot more potential volume there than a guy like Zayden Walker, I think, for this season.
Just going to say Quintavious Johnson's still on the board.
Cool. I'll take Quintavious Johnson, and then I'll take Justin Williams to close out my draft. I like that. I think Justin Williams is going to be on the field a very solid amount. Chris Cole can't play every defensive snap, nor do I think they want him to. Justin Williams is going to have an opportunity to make some plays this year. I think he's going to have a really big year three bump.
So I have one more pick remaining?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, I have one more pick remaining. So I'm going to take another guy that I know is going to be out on the field a lot. I'm going to take DeMelo Jones.
All right.
Big tackler.
Mm-hmm. Big tackler, obviously has interception value there.
So to recap here, we've got on Jonathan's team, let's make sure that I put Jay Will at the top of this. Nate Frazier, London Humphreys, Isaiah Kanyon, Lawson Lucky, Jaden Riddell, Chris Cole, Raylan Wilson, Khalil Barnes, Elijah Griffin, DeMelo Jones. Mm-hmm. For Kirby's team, Chauncey Bowen, Zakobi Wye-Helton, Elias Williams, Craig Dangerous, Caden Prothro, KJ Bolden, Ellis Robinson, about called him Elias, Gabe Harris, Quintavious Johnson, Justin Williams. No CJ Wiley, no Talon Taylor. I'll add those to my mythical team.
That would be funny, though, if you took like a scraps team, just take what's left, like the best players that you could think of that are left, and then see how you compete with the list that we've compiled.
Did you take Bo Walker?
No.
I didn't.
He would have been a good pick as well.
Well, I mean,
I'll add him to the scraps.
Now, last year we did make a rule where there was a waiver wire play because I can't remember what exactly happened. Something happened.
Lawson got a high ankle.
There was some. Yeah,
you drafted someone that just ended up not doing anything.
Yeah, it like ended up being a null and void.
I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was that guy. Yeah. I think it was that receiver.
I couldn't remember if it was him or if it was Kobe Young after the injury that we were like, okay, well, maybe we need to implement a waiver wire play.
I had Kobe Young last year, and I was very worried, but luckily your receiver pick negated that. So we had a
I also think
wire.
It was because you were blowing me out of the water so much that we were like, all right, you get to trade off one player now to maybe increase your chances of making a comeback. And so I ultimately did not.
Who could be on this scraps team? I got CJ Wiley, Talon Taylor, Bo Walker, Peanut.
You get one more offensive player.
Ethan Barbour.
There you go.
There you go. That's a good one.
That's a good pick right there.
And then defensively, I've got Kyron Jones because y'all swiped up all the linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Xavier McLeod. He's not going to have a ton of tackles.
Yeah. Defensive linemen are obviously valuable, but not in fantasy all that much.
I'll take Zayden Walker.
There you go.
That's a good pick.
And then
take one of the younger edge rushers, in my opinion.
I was thinking Chase Linton.
Yeah, like you could absolutely hit a home run with one of those.
Let's go Chase Linton. And then Jamarly Riddle.
It's a really good one. For a scrap team at least.
Yeah.
And that's 1, 2, 3, 4. I need one more defensive player.
You could take any one of Braylon Conley.
Josh Horton.
JJA.
What if Khalil Barnes get hurt?
You gonna go Rayshon?
No, I was gonna go. Oh, Dink's a good call. I was gonna go Tyreek Boogie.
I thought honestly, that's a really good one.
That's
too.
That's a unique play too, because there's a world where he might get offensive snaps,
and he could get special teams plays.
Teams is what I was
thinking. Yeah, but special team doesn't count towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went Boogie.
It's a good play.
Maybe for Brooks, we let special teams plays count if that happens, since he has a scrap team.
Sure.
And because we're forcing him to play against his religion. Forcing
Thank
him
you.
To do something he doesn't want to do.
Thank
I respect
you for
your beliefs.
My wishes.
You're welcome.
What else we got tonight?
I've got this segment. Jay Will hit on it a few nights ago. Of players that are just tied to specific moments. I had a list for mine that we hadn't gotten to yet. We can hit that. I've also got, I don't know if you did this as well, Jay Will, favorite UGA-related offseason moments. Did you make a list for this?
I didn't actually make a list, but I can think of a bunch.
Okay. I can start off with the players that are known for specific performances. Jay Will had a good list for this, gave a couple of ones that I think it's basically just when you think of a player, you think of that one moment. They have that one specific play that always comes to mind. It's what they're forever attached to. The first one I have is Lawrence Cager versus Florida.
That's a really
That
good
entire
one.
Performance. He had a great performance in Notre Dame. You don't win that game without him in that, but Lawrence Cager will forever be known as the Florida Destroyer, the guy who kind of helped you beat that team in 2019, something he is forever tied to.
That was one of my...
Apart from the dragging up, what other play did he make in that Florida game?
Dude,
he had a moss in the back corner of the end zone where he almost broke his shoulder.
Multiple third down conversions.
Okay.
Like he had like 100-something yards in this game. Like he had a bunch of big moments. The dragging up is obviously the one that everyone thinks of because it was such a quintessential play that kind of gave you the 2-score lead late in the fourth, I believe. But massive moment. The next one I have, and this
I did want to mention.
Oh, go ahead.
Actually, Lawrence Cager involves one of the first interactions I ever had with you on social media. I remember I was watching the Falcons play the Dallas Cowboys. Now, mind you, this was 2020, I want to say, when this happened. And the Falcons had a play call for Hayden Hurst, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Very similar play call to what they used for Lawrence Cager. And I spliced the two plays together, and I did like the Spider-Man meme or something like that. And I remember you commenting, cover three beater, stick with me, you'll learn some ball.
Golly, early Brooks Austin loved him some.
It didn't come across that way. I was just kind of like, huh, all right. And here I am. I stuck with you. And I learned some ball.
And got a job out of it.
I sure did.
Very nice.
If you love me some me too, you might get a job.
Next one I have, and this isn't necessarily a singular game, but he will forever just be tied to this team. And he had plenty of great moments. Dalen Everett will forever be known as the guy that destroyed Texas.
Oh, the Texas killer.
In 2024, those two performances, I think he caused four turnovers. He had the strip sack on Quinn Ewers, the interception in the first regular season game, and then two picks in the SEC championship. I mean, just about as great of a performance as you can have against a single team. Dalen Everett forever tied to just the guy that destroyed Texas in 2024, although he had a fantastic career. This one's a bit of a soft subject, but he's kind of become a meme within his own right within the Georgia fan base. Tyler Simmons. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. I don't need to dive any deeper.
There's really only one play, unfortunately. And you know what? It sucks because that one play for him could have been so glamorous. It could have been one of the most iconic moments in Georgia football history. That's how close Tyler Simmons was to becoming that. And unfortunately, it went the other way.
And you know what? I'll go ahead and hit this one because it's the next one. Kelee Ringo obviously will forever be the national championship against Alabama. But if the Tyler Simmons play stands, Tyler Simmons is on the same stratosphere as Kelee Ringo in that regard. So like, that's the guy that won us the national championship because he blocked that punt and Georgia was able to turn it into maybe a touchdown, at least 3 points. I mean, the ball was inside their own 25. So, yeah. Tyler Simmons, Kelee Ringo will forever be tied to those specific moments. The next one, not exactly a play. Well, it is a play, but it's more the moment that went viral after this. I think when you hear Dominic Lovett, and honestly, for that matter, Cass Jones, you will forever think of that Georgia Tech play when Cass Jones slaps his helmet perfectly timed, and it looks like a button to shoot off fireworks. I see that circle around it. That game was played a season and a half ago, and I see that circling consistently.
Oh, it will for the rest of time.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest videos. Great moment, fantastic game. Just all around, Dominic Lovett will forever be the fireworks.
I always remember Dominic Lovett for the 2024 G-Day game. That's what I'll remember.
We thought it was...
That was the best. That was honestly, and I hate to say this, that was honestly the best he's ever looked, might I say, in a Georgia uniform was that spring game. I mean, it was, whoa, this guy just has completely changed his game, it seems like. Like, this is what you thought you were going to get from him the first year. Looks like he's going to be taking a massive step forward, making dudes miss.
Man.
I mean, just the yak ability from him, and it just ultimately didn't pan out that way that season, as it didn't for most receivers that year.
The excitement that I had from that game about, man, Dominic Lovett's going to be good this year. We got a veteran, Carson Beck, who's going to take care of the football. This Colby Young guy just joined the roster.
It does.
Trevor Achane's going to be a really good running back for us. This is like, man.
It doesn't make me laugh to think back of the discussions that we had going into the 2024 season. And one of the things that we really harped on for Carson Beck was, buddy, we just got to let it rip sometimes. Like, the result be damned. If it's an interception, that might not be a bad thing. That might not be a horrible thing. We just need you to take some more risks, dude. Quit being so chicken and rice and add some spice into that. And we added quite a bit too much spice there.
Drive the Lambo.
He
crashed
Bro,
that
totaled
sucker.
That. He totaled the Lambo, dude.
Damn.
Tough. Very tough.
Shout out to Southern Dog. Gives a super chub that says, just show the boys some love. We appreciate you, fellas. Also, Logan Carlson paid $5 to let us know that Keelan Russell's Heisman is inevitable.
Oh, thank you, Logan. Thank you all.
Question before you go further.
Go ahead.
Should I do the 100 push-ups on Instagram Live while answering questions, or should I just do them, record myself, do them, and do the, like, where you speed it up and do all the reps, like, really, really fast? Which one?
Probably just speed it up.
Yeah, but that requires editing and no engagement with the audience.
Seems like you had the answer to your question.
No, I'm just, I don't want to do editing. But I also don't want to be the guy doing push-ups on his Instagram Live.
That's valid.
Also, chat, guys, what would y'all rather me do?
Also, chat, we know that it's Trevor. It's spelled ETM, but they have since said that it is Achane. That's how you say their names, okay? We know how it's spelled and how everybody has said it in the past, but they have said that that is not how you say it. We're going to pay the respects to them and call them by the correct pronunciation of their name.
Trevor Achane.
We don't get to do that very often around here, okay? So we're trying to be our best and actually say their name correctly.
All right, my final two players that are forever tied to specific moments. And this one feels a little guilty because I feel like his career is so much more than that. But anytime you say this player's name, you are taken right back to that moment. Lorenzo Carter blocking the field goal in the Rose Bowl. Had a great career, 4 years with Georgia, had some fantastic moments, is part of that senior class that really set the foundation for what Georgia football is right now alongside Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel and all those other guys. But if you hear Lorenzo Carter, you almost always think of him jumping up and blocking Austin Seibert's kick in the Rose Bowl in overtime. And then the final one I have, another example of, like, I feel like he was more than a play, but if you want a quintessential, like, hey, what was this player's time like at Georgia? You would show them this. Darnell Washington against Oregon. That will forever be, like, the Darnell Washington
play. He had some huge plays against Missouri that season, too.
Yeah, he did against Missouri, against Mississippi State. Like, there's a handful of Darnell Washington plays you're like, God, dude, that guy was just so big. But that is the play, to stiff arm one person, break another tackle, hurdle someone that big, and then not be taken down, just kind of ran out of bounds. I think it's the epitome of what Darnell Washington was. It's the epitome of what Darnell Washington is. So those are my players that will forever be tied to specific moments.
Darnell Washington will forever be tied to the Instagram mashup I saw of him the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like just talking about how you got to go tackle 6'11", 290 pound Darnell.
6'11".
Like, Coach, I'm going to need a perk. Coach, I don't see no trim ball over here on the sideline. Yeah, like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I am glad that he's carved out a career for himself, it looks like, in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think people are kind of questionative of how that was going to work for him.
I'm still questioning about how long it's going to last.
Sure, but it made it to a second contract.
Yeah, no, he's been solid.
And that's further than most people would make it. So I'm glad that the Steelers seem to appreciate him and hit both of his abilities as a blocker and as a receiver when he's needed. I'm just glad that he settled into a role for himself.
All right, Jay, well, we've done it. This is the final official show of the offseason. From here on out, there will be games to analyze. There will be reactions to be had. All of that good stuff that comes with the regular season being here. So what are some of your favorite, and this can go from this year to any childhood time, favorite UGA-related offseason moments? Because the offseason sucks. We would all rather have college football on Saturdays. But there are some bright spots in it, in that. So what are some of your favorite moments that you have in mind? I can get it started with my own to get you a
for job. Whatever reason, this is the first one that pops into my mind. And it was during the transition period of Mark Richt has been fired, Kirby Smart has now been hired, and Kirby Smart has to try and scramble to make sure that he retains the recruiting class that Mark Richt compiled. And one of those recruits was obviously five-star quarterback Jacob Eason.
Yes.
And there for a while, if you guys remember correctly, it seemed like Jacob Eason was going to go somewhere else. Like, wasn't sure if he was.
Florida was a rumor.
And that's what I was going to bring up. And the only thing I remember is he takes a visit to Florida. Someone just so happens to see him at the airport on his way back to Washington from Florida. And he is very clearly hungover. Like, very clearly did not want to be there, was not feeling too well, had the hoodie over his head. Looked like, I don't want to say hell, but I mean, Buddy was looking rough, and then ultimately made it back to Washington. I think shortly after was like, I'm sticking with Georgia. I'm committed to Kirby Smart, and I'm going to be the quarterback of Georgia. So that's one of the first things that popped in my mind for whatever reason.
That's a good one. This is a show-specific one. That first drive to the studio with no Athens traffic is nice. And that's all I'll say about that. That is very nice when you get in 5 points and the light's not completely backed up, and then you can go down Millage and you're not hitting a red light every time you go. That's nice. That's a good one. More specific, more probably appropriate UGA offseason memory. The first time I like really knew, like, okay, I'm going to go to school here. You grow up as a fan. You're kind of indoctrinated into that, but you don't really start forming your own love for the school until you hit, like, you know, 10, 12. I was probably 11 years old, and one summer my family took me on a day trip to Athens, and we went around the city. It was a summertime in Athens, so it's obviously nothing's going on. We went to see the arts. We drove by Sanford Stadium. We went to the book, did all the touristy Athens things, and that was when I knew. I was like, I'm going to the University of Georgia. So always a fun memory for me. Always enjoyed that one. A good off-season moment.
I guess one of my other ones that happened in the off-season would be the 2016 spring game. This is obviously 93K Day. Now, I did not grow up going to games a whole lot. My dad and I went to a handful of them. We'd always pick maybe one game a year or a game every other year to go to. And it was typically against App State or North Texas, something along the lines of that. we just kind of like our deal was we wanted to watch it at home, and we had a bunch of friends that we watched the games with, and so that's what we did. So we didn't go to games a whole lot, but went to the spring game and we tailgated. Like, we did the whole shebang. So, like, that was the first time really in my life that I like tailgated for a football game, walked around downtown Athens, kind of got a game day atmosphere the entire day in Athens, and obviously go to the spring game. Very much a core memory too. And at that point, I'm old enough to like kind of start thinking about, where do I want to go to college? Mm-hmm. Is this somewhere that I actually want to go? And just like actually appreciating what the campus is, like just like the uniqueness of it, just how great of a city Athens is by itself. So that's certainly on my list.
There's going to UGA games. Like, I had a very similar experience with you. Like, we would always pick like the one game where it was, you know, like not a big matchup. It's probably a noon kick against a G5 team. There's going to those games, and then when you have your first experience of like a major Saturday in Athens, it takes it to a whole other level. So I completely agree with that. 93K Day was awesome. The Ludacris concert was a little underwhelming.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I was a little bit disappointed in that, but nevertheless, great time. Kind of segueing from this, 2016 season happens. Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, Lorenzo Carter, Davin Bellamy, all those guys announcing, yes, that they're coming back was such a huge moment. It was such a surprise. Like, I remember thinking at the end of the 2016 season, like, well, we just wasted two of the best running backs' careers, mm-hmm, in Georgia football history. Like Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel are going to leave with absolutely nothing to their name except a couple of, you know, Belk Bowls and Liberty Bowl appearances and maybe some school records. Like, very disappointed. So when they both announced they were coming back, it was like, oh my God, we might get a chance to send these guys off right. And obviously, not all the way right, but them having that season was just fantastic.
Yeah, and especially considering the career that Nick Chubb had and knowing the circumstances around what was on the line for him. Like, he had already had some injury history to his name, so you're really like, all right, now that he needs to go to the draft. Like, it's time for him. Like, he doesn't need to risk coming back for another season. So, like, it was truly probably the two biggest surprises that Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb ran it back another season. Like, I think of all the returnings that we've gotten from Georgia, and the 2021 team had quite a few of these as well, but those two guys deciding to come back for another season, I remember it was like, didn't think that there was a shot that those two guys would be wearing the red and black again.
Certainly. All right, this one's a bit of a stretch when I say off season, but the college football season was over, so I'm counting it. The riots in the streets of Athens after those two natties are, the first one was obviously the greatest night of my life, and it said last night, it won't be topped till I get married or have kids. The second one of being able to be like, man, 1 year ago today, or 1 year ago, I was doing this exact thing. We just went back to back. The pure joy and happiness in realizing, like, this is something that's happening right now that you're not guaranteed to ever happen again. Fantastic memories of being a student there and having experienced that.
I was never in the city of Athens for either of the national titles. I was back home watching the first one with my dad.
You missed a great, I'm sure you had fantastic memories.
Yeah, I mean, for me it was like that's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to be with my dad watching that game if it ever happened.
So I was in my garage studio with 104 degree fever.
Really?
Damn.
Yeah.
Yikes. Man, that's tough. And then the second time I was at the game. So I wasn't in Athens for either one of them. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Would have been great to be in Athens, but I was happy with where I was.
Me and old Scott Howard must have got the same strand that week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dude, yeah.
He was really hoping that game was not about to go to overtime.
I remember, because a big thing I would do is the next morning you wake up and you watch all the, you know, the Scott Howard highlight clips of the best moments to hear what his reaction is, because when you're in the stadium or when you're watching the broadcast, you're not listening to Scott Howard. And I remember waking up that Tuesday morning, like, so excited, like, man, I can't wait to hear what Scott Howard's call for Keely Ringo was. And you hear the game, it's like, man, Scott sounds terrible. What's going on?
Yeah, and he even acknowledged it. And I think after the game, he might have even said, like, I don't know if I could have taken overtime, guys, so I'm glad it ended in regulation.
Yeah.
But he gutted through that performance, and it was absolutely worth it, I would imagine, for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the final one, we'll hit on this one real quickly. Knowing that there's going to be a season in 2020 was such a relief. I don't think we need to dive deep into that one, but the idea that you might go a full calendar year without any college football was so terrifying at the time. And since then, obviously, all the hindsight of things is better. But the relief of hearing, okay, there's going to be at least 10 games played this season for the SEC, Very excited.
For whatever reason, the one thing I remember most about the COVID offseason was the amount of hypothetical new football helmets that people were trying to create. Like, they're like Halo style football helmets. Like, this is how we could stop spreading the virus and still play football. It's like, guys, it's going to be 100 degrees when the season starts. We can't give them enclosed helmets. They're going to die.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am doing post-show punishment on my IG Live at Brooks Austin BA. Come hang out. I'll ask all your questions that I didn't get to or don't get to during these live shows. We'll actually talk to you guys and hang out in that one. We will be not back tomorrow. I will be back Sunday at noon, though. I'm going to give you a week zero reaction show. Maybe do a little week one early previews on Sunday at noon. So Sunday service starts again this week. Glad to be doing that. We'll be back tomorrow with a film study. Hopefully you guys show up and watch that. I know my BYU Cougar fans will. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button on your way out. I love you. More importantly, Jesus loves you. We'll see you.